Welcome to One Sharp Sword, cutting through to what matters most with your host, Dr. P, Dr. Wayne Purnell, the breakthrough success coach and your powerful presence mentor.
Welcome to One Sharp Sword, cutting through to what matters most. I'm your host, Dr. P, Dr. Wayne Purnell, the exponential success coach and president of Dynamic Leader Incorporated. We're on another episode, and I'm excited today to bring you Roy Oseng. Now, Roy is, he's known as being audacious, bold. He has a book series and a website called Be Different or Be Dead. That's kind of bold. And he will talk about audacious, unheard of ways that he actually took a startup to over $1 billion in sales. He's been the CMO of organizations. He's a former president of an organization. He has over 4 decades of experience in leadership and executive management. So we've got a lot to learn. And along the way, Roy, I didn't tell you this, we're going to stop you and just underscore some of the brilliant leadership points that you offer. So without further ado, Roy Oseng, welcome to One Sharp Sword.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being here. And I'm honored to have an opportunity to speak with you and your audience today, Wayne. So thanks again.
Yeah, pleasure having you. So you didn't wake up one day and go, you know what? I am going to help people move their businesses from zero to hero. Like your journey, I know you're based in the Pacific Northwest now. Where did you, where did it all start to come together for you? Where did you grow up? How did the ideas that were given to you, how did they start to germinate, and where are you now?
So I was born and raised in a little place in British Columbia, Canada, called Kimberley, the highest city in Canada. And in the day, it was the largest lead zinc mine in the world. And I grew up there, small town. My mother, I'm quite convinced, was a driving force behind my energy and my passion towards this whole thing that I didn't call it at the time, Be Different, but it grew into that as a mantra. She was a child, one of 12 in Eastern Canada when she grew up. So she really knew that it was necessary to be bold, be audacious, and literally do whatever you can with 11 siblings to basically win in the family, in that tribe. And it didn't occur to me that energy that she required was probably in running through my veins. That was my DNA, because my dad wasn't like that at all. So, I mean, I grew up basically looking for ways to do things differently than everybody else. And by that, I mean, not for the sake of being different, but doing different things to achieve good and really, you know, rewarding results. And so I think what happened is
Can I pause you first? Because sometimes when there's a sense of, I want to do things different, there's a rebel sense, but I don't get that from you. What I get is, I just want to do things different. So that means that somewhere inside of you, you were taking account of kind of the status quo. This is the way everybody's doing it. So in order to do things different and to achieve the results I want, like, that started a creative streak in you. How did you know to take account of what was going on?
Well, I didn't. This is the way I was, and it was expressed. I concluded that actually being successful in whatever I was doing, whether it was in a baseball game, whether it was playing other sports, whether it was, you know, relationships or whatever, and it gradually evolved into business, was all about figuring out how to achieve that which satisfied others in a way that was different than everybody else. And so being different for me is a way to be unique in a way that matters to other people, okay? And this is a point I want to make to your audience. This is not about the color of your hair. This is not about the sexual preferences that you might have. This has got nothing to do with the color of your skin. Being different is all about being unique in a way that somebody else cares about. And I want to underscore that. That was drilled into me when I was young. It's not a matter of doing crazy things. It's a matter of figuring out how you're going to be different from everybody else and produce a result that absolutely startles other people, takes their breath away. And when I got older and got out of university, and so that just kind of like guided me my whole life. I got into business and I joined a telephone company back in the day, okay, of the monopoly. Well, we all know what happened to that business. It didn't stay to be a monopoly for all that long, but I concluded that we were not ready, okay, to be in a competitive environment. And so this whole notion of being different was there. All right, it was there for me to continue to use. And so I disrupted monopoly thinking. I disrupted monopoly culture and had to build an organization, which eventually led, we were fortunate to go to $1 billion in annual sales. By the way, that business today is $18 billion a year. I mean, it's huge. So I like to think I had just a little piece of part nice. To play yeah. in that. But it's the same thing that my mom told me that basically manifested itself several years later in the business world, and I've used it in my career as well, to figure out what you need to do to perform at a superlative level and do it in a way that's different than everybody else. And chances are, because I love, by the way, I love the fact that you call them dull blades. There are so many dull blades out there. I call it herd thinking. All you need to do is step out in a way that people care about. You'll get noticed, you'll deliver, and wonderful things happen. And so I have this stuff in my veins, Wayne. There's nothing I can do about it. You can bleed me, but you'll never get rid of it. It's there.
That's great. That's great. Well, so, I mean, that's good for you. And there's got to be a takeaway for the audience. Like maybe that's running in their veins and they don't know it. Maybe there's a way of waking it up. And maybe it's a skill set that can be taken on. So, you know, when you say just, you know, here's the thing, what you're talking about is not easy. Otherwise, everybody would do it, right? So, and the idea of cutting through to what matters most, one sharp sword versus 1,000 dull blades, right? It's like one thing is going to cut through. One thing is all you need for one instance. And then you need something else for that next instance. Here, though, like, most people don't think in terms of, I'm going to do something that is, as you say, superlative. I'm going to do something that is so outstanding that people are going to be talking about it forever.
No, it's true. And the reason for that is we've been taught not to do it. We have yes. an education system that forever has taught us to comply, to taught us to conform, right? Follow the rules and you'll get an A. Okay. Yes. You just, that's, so we end up coming out of that funnel thinking that we need to be part of the herd, thinking that we need to be popular, thinking that we need to do things in a common average way, because that's the way we've been taught. So to break away from that is hugely difficult. Okay, it's yes. not easy. It for me, it was a natural expression of who I was. For other people, it may not be. And so therefore, there are some things okay, that I learned that I try and teach people who are leaning towards wanting to go down this be different journey and are looking for some little techniques to do it. For example, this notion of being conscious every time you're facing a challenge of looking for a different solution. I call it my be different lens. You look through everything that you're being asked to do, everything that you're intending to do, and you ask yourself the simple question, how can I do this differently in a way that other people care about? Again, I want to underscore, this isn't about doing it for yourself. This isn't about you being different for you. It's about you being different for someone else. And that little technique, Wayne, I still use it today. I use it on my grandchildren. I use it on my wife. I use it on my vacations. I use it on every. How can I approach this situation differently? And so what I say to people if you're leaning towards the be different end of the normal distribution curve, start asking yourself that question. And every day, try to do it once so that you begin to get more comfortable with discomfort. And that's the whole thing. There's no silver bullets here. There's no Hail Marys. It's nano inches worth of stuff that you need to do. And so there's some practical little things that I try and get people to lean into. But I tell you, the inertia from what we've been taught is so strong. I mean, that's one of the reasons that, look, I started writing about this in 2009. And one of the reasons that I haven't been as successful as I want to is I'm fighting that force day in and day out about people not wanting to step out because they've been taught not to. And it's unfortunately a huge disappointment for me. And it's a travesty to the economy and society in general. I mean, like, I get tired of looking at herd behavior and herd thinking and herd expressions and herd narratives. They drive me frickin' crazy, Wayne. They do. And I think it's repulsive. And I imagine a world where you got a whole bunch of people doing cool, different things in a way that people care about. Can you imagine what that looks like? Brilliant.
It is brilliant. You know, I'm a fan of full creative expression. And that means trying different things. It means branching out from, as you talked about, daring to be uncomfortable a little bit, because the discomfort is based in a fear of being judged. And beyond that judgment is the fear of being ostracized. If I do this thing and people don't like it or like me, then I'll be cut away and then I won't belong and then I'll shrivel up and die. And it's such a fallacy, right? Because leaders are the ones that actually do break away and say, I've got a different way. You said some things. I want to break this down because this sentence, this one sentence, has a lot to unpack in it. So how can I do this differently in a way that,
other people care about?
Yes, I was writing so fast, it was like, yikes. Okay, so how can I do this differently in a way, in such a way that other people care about? So do this differently means, first of all, understand the way things are done. Do this differently in a way that other people care about means you actually know what people care about, which means you've dared to listen, you've dared to research, you've dared to step into the other people's world. And this is different from the influencer, which is, look at me, aren't I clever, all that stuff. Instead, it's what I call outfluence, right? I have this term I use, as outfluence, which is looking at the other person. And so I love that because it requires thought, presence, listening, a little work. So I love that. And it's not an easy aha to get to. How can I do this differently in a way that other people care about? So what would you add to that? Because I know I've just barely scratched the surface on that piece.
No, you have the essence. I mean, think about this from a business strategy point of view, and then we'll work back into the individual. When you build a strategy, by the way, I have absolutely no time for traditional planning models. They don't work. They're too expensive. There's no such thing as a five-year plan because the fourth year never shows up. I mean, they don't produce all that brilliant results, and I've had to create my own. But one of the key parts of the way I look at planning is what I call deciding on who you're going to serve. Who you're going to serve basically in a traditional language is a target market, okay, that you're going to go after. I call it who you're going to serve because my model, Wayne, is all about serving. It's more about serving than it is about expression, because you got to figure out how you're going to serve before you can express in a meaningful way. And that in a way describes the statement doing something different in a way people care about. Once you've decided who you're going to go after in a business sense, this example, the next thing you have to do in my world, my process, is to figure out what they crave, not what they need. Everybody's trying to satisfy needs. And typically businesses like that are commodities where price reigns supreme. And we all know what that does. In my world, it's I really don't want to know what Wayne needs. What I'm going to figure out and discover is what he craves, what he lusts for, what he desires, what he covets, because that sweet spot is not price sensitive and it has relatively few competitors. So I can play really successfully in there. When I ask the question, how can I be different in a way people care about? What I'm really saying is, how can I be unique, right, in satisfying the cravings that the people I'm interested in are? I want to serve their cravings in a unique way. Okay, so that hits me and benefits me in two ways. First of all, I'm the only one playing in the craving space, most likely. And secondly, now that I'm there, I'm going to be the only one that actually delivers what they crave in an unbelievable, mind-blowing, creative way that they never even imagined. Now, that's one heck of a challenge, but we do that. We do that. I do that with clients through my process, but that's how you unpack it. Okay, so there's a methodology here that works really well, quite frankly, and it's so simple. I mean, this is not a complicated thing we're talking about here. It's like, understand who you want to talk to, figure out what they covet, and do it in a way that nobody else does. This is not rocket science.
It's so great. It's so, it is simple, may not be easy at first until you get used to thinking that way. The idea of service, who are you going to serve, is very, it's a slightly different mindset than who's my target market. Because I think who's my target market is about what can I get? And yeah. Right?
Yeah. The traditional thing is, when you target something, you're pushing something at them. One of my biggest issues with marketing today is most of them are product, what I call product floggers, supply oriented, flog your iron, flog your wares. What we're talking about here is, no, we don't flog anything. If we do, it's flogging the notion of serving, but it's discovering cravings and responding to those in a way that nobody has even thought about. I mean, look at the Heart Attack Grill in Las Vegas. Okay, this is an outrageous business, right? That doesn't give a damn about the narrative around health. Now, I'm not advocating them. I'm using them as an example, whereas if you're over 350 pounds, you get to eat free. They have triple bypass and octuple bypass burgers, for God's sake, that have hundreds of thousands of calories in. Look at that business, okay, has decided, right, to take a sharp sword and plummet in this whole notion, okay, of the narrative around health, to try and provide an experience that is interesting and to people and arouses their curiosity to come and see what it's all about.
Well, that business would not thrive in Westwood, in LA. That business, right? You have to look at context. So that business is all about, it's Sin City. Come and, you know, it's Las Vegas. Rules, you know, it's like there are none. And so therefore that business basically says, you're breaking all the rules anyway, come on in. And yeah, I love that, because it does.
There's only one thing. There's a lot of, I agree with what you say, okay, but let's not diminish this. The leader of that business clearly understands.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, what people craving. And look, there's a lot of common businesses, right, in Las Vegas. There's a lot of restaurants that are dull blades. This guy is a sharp sword. And the point I'm trying to make is he made a conscious decision, right?
To stand out in a way. Yeah.
I mean, and so that's what we need more of. I'm not advocating, you know, the notion of being healthy. I'm advocating the notion of stepping away in a dramatic way that satisfies what people crave, and that's the model.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you. I'm also saying context will matter, and so what do people crave in a certain context?
And I agree.
And in Las Vegas, perfect. And I love the idea of, what do people crave versus what they need? And I will make the bridge to relationships. You know, guys often, I'm going to make a gross generalization. So if this doesn't fit for you, or if somehow as an audience member you're offended by this, just take it as an example. Guys will often do things for scorekeeping. Hey, I took out the garbage. Hey, I did this or that, right? And it's like, look at me. I emptied the dishwasher. Throw me a parade. And that is a contribution to the household. You're doing something that is needed in the household, but not for your partner, and you want a parade. Well, what about what does the person crave? What does your partner crave? What if it was a, hey, not only did I do the things for the household because that's for the household and I'm part of the household, I got you a spa day. Just like take Saturday for yourself. That's understanding what the person, what your partner wants. That's understanding how to surprise. And I don't know if that's a decent example in terms of the way you think. I'm just saying there's a bridge here between what we do to stand out in business and what we do to stand out in our relationships to keep the relationships fresh and alive.
There's totally a parallel. I mean, what you just described for me is a situation where this individual has figured out that in order to dazzle their partner in terms of satisfying what they crave, they better take care of the basic requirements first. You can't dazzle anybody if you're not satisfying their basic needs. So you got to get beyond that. So taking the garbage out and all that kind of stuff earns you the right to dazzle, earns you the right to get credit, okay, for satisfying the cravings. And so you better not do the spa day and have her or him say to you, yeah, but wait a minute, you didn't take the garbage out. Okay, so you better take care of that first.
You're not buying your way out of
No. Right? In a customer service world, this is kind of like part of a strategy model that I created, which said if you want to provide delightful customer experiences, which most organizations are trying to promulgate these days, you better be able to take care of their core service requirements first. You better be able to develop or deliver your products and services 24/7/365 consistently and flawlessly. Once you've done that, you've earned the right to create and get credit for a dazzling customer experience, but without which that baseline, okay, you're never going to do it, right? If you do not deliver my internet service on time, you have zero chance to dazzle me and take care of what I crave. So you better take care of business first. And so it applies equally as well in a personal relationship point of view. It applies in a career perspective. It is multi-usable, this whole notion. And it, you know, for me, it's pretty simple. When I'm talking to a person, right? I mean, right in the back of my head is, okay, you know, I'm going to figure this person out. And what I mean by that is I don't care about their political ideologies. I want to know what they crave as a human being. That's what I'm motivated for. And you don't come out and say, hey, Wayne, what do you crave? But there are ways of discovering what turns people on, right? There's a huge business metaphor there that's missing. And I'm trying to fill it.
And it comes through conversation. It's great.
You are listening to One Sharp Sword, cutting through to what matters most with your host, Dr. Wayne Purnell. You know you are bigger than the life you are leading. It really is time to attend to that thing you've wanted to do or have, but you've been putting off. It's time to step into that dream you've parked for someday. It's time to claim true well-being, both personally and professionally, without giving up the success that got you here. It's time to check out Dr. Purnell's signature small group retreat, the Exponential Success Summit. Explore exponentialsuccesssummit.com. Seats are extremely limited as this is a very special small group event. www.exponentialsuccesssummit.com.
In your podcast, your book series, etc., talk a little bit about some of the steps that you walk people through. What do you invite people to be thinking about? I just in this piece, I would love to give a preview, as it were, to, you know, what is it? What's the magic formula, if there is one?
Yeah. First of all, there's no magic anything. to be honest. I mean, this world of performing it at a superlative level by being different is hard work, and it's in the trench work. It's messy work, and it's not driven by a formula, is the point I want to make. Okay, it's driven by simplicity, leadership by serving around, gasp-worthy moments, hiring for goosebumps, cutting the crap, killing dumb rules, all of that stuff. Okay, which for, in my world is strategic, in most other pundits' world is unheard of because they've never heard of it. But the basic thing I will say to you is that the theme of Be Different or Be Dead is differentiation. Okay, if you're not different, you're dead or soon will be. The world right now, Wayne, to be perfectly honest with you, is absolutely falling short of being able to differentiate itself. And let me give you just a little bit on that. Like, if you look at organizations generally and try and figure out why you should buy from them, it's really difficult because what you're confronted head on with are statements like, well, we're better. Well, we're best. We're number one. We're the market leader. Now, I've tagged those claptrap. Okay, so I say claptrap isn't a meaningful way to try and describe to somebody why they should buy from you. Not only that, it's extremely narcissistic. I mean, it's narcissistic. It's your view of you, right?
During the time when we had phone books, I would, and I was doing consulting for businesses, and they'd come up with their grand slogans, and I would pass out yellow pages, and I'd say, go to look up plumbers, and I want you to find anywhere that they advertise dishonest plumber, because honest plumber was sort of like, that was it, honest plumber. It's like, no, right? So the whole idea, I want to underscore what you said, be different or be dead is about differentiation. That word, right? It's about differentiation. It's powerful if you take it in and go, okay, so what does differentiate me? Why me? Why my business? And that's why me as an individual, why me as a business person, why me as a player or a leader in this organization. Like that's a big deal because it forces people to think.
It's a huge deal because nobody's thinking about it that way, quite frankly. And so like I can offer up the problem and say, first of all, we have too much gargling Google going on that leads to the copycat syndrome. And we got too much aspirational thinking and claptrap. So, okay, Roy, if that's the problem in differentiation, what's the solution? So I've created one. It's called the only statement. Okay, the only statement is really, really simple. It says, we are the only ones who. It's not better, best, it's only. It's binary. It can be observed. It can be measured. We are the only ones who. I've had amazing success with this. I mean, because first of all, I am the only one that offers the only statement as a solution to differentiation and the claptrap and the narcissism that's going out there in business. I'm the only one talking this way. And I've created a process to do it. And you look at you, you can apply this to people. Here's Roy's only statement.
I was going to read it because I didn't read it as part of your bio. He's the only author, entrepreneur, and executive leader who delivers practical and proven audacious, unheard of ways to produce high performing businesses and successful careers. That's the right. He's the only author, entrepreneur, and executive leader. That's Roy's only statement. I love it.
Yep. And so what I do with business, and so that's a practical way of actually solving a differentiation problem. And it's not an obvious one, and I've had to create a process around doing it, but it's doable. I mean, the process I created, we can do this for an organization in 48 hours, literally using my strategic game planning process that is fundamentally driven by the need to differentiate. I mean, I'm always asked, Roy, what do you think the biggest problem in the business is today? And I say, differentiate. We do a woefully inadequate job. And the interesting thing is, we have a solution. Now, why are people hell-bent on claptrap? It's because the narrative of the day doesn't know any better.
Yeah.
Okay, you read a universal sales proposition or a unique sales proposition, it's not unique. It's the expression of what you think you're good at. It's not an expression of how unique you are, i.e. you're the only ones that do what you do, in a way that your target market or who you want to serve covets or lusts for. And so it's a complete shift, Wayne, in terms of thinking about how you're going to build future direction, how you're going to, you know, describe your journey, and how are you going to make it easy for people to buy from you when in fact there's 100 other options out there. You need to cut through like a knife. You need a sharp sword. I'll tell you what your sharp sword is. It's the only statement. Boom. That's it.
Nice. So there's a challenge for our listeners, our viewers, and that is create your only statement. Now, here's a question. Might there be more than one only statement? For example, if we go back to the heart attack burger place, right? The context matters. So I'm the only person in relationship with my wife, da, 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 who can do the following. I'm the only person as a business leader to do XYZ.
Yeah, so the context is actually the strategic game plan. That creates the context. Now, let me just briefly define it for you. So the game planning process is simple. It answers three questions. And if you can do this, you basically got your strategy, okay, which has inherent or embedded in it the only statement. First question is, how big do you want to be in 24 months? This isn't a five-year exercise, right? This is 24 periods of 30 days. How big do you want to be? It's all about top-line revenue. In 24 months, if you're at a million, do you want to be at 10 million? Do you want to be at 5 million? It makes a difference to the strategy. That's why I start off with a declaration of numbers, because the number sets the tone for the strategy, sets the context, as you would say, for the whole strategy to be developed, because a $1 million growth strategy is going to be completely different than a $10 million growth strategy, right? Agreed. So that's it. How big do you want to be? Second question, we talked briefly about it. Where are you going to get the money? Who do you want to serve? And what do they crave? Now, ideally, you want to make the customer group definitions as few in number as you can, because look, we've all got limited resources in time and money. You don't want to be chasing the universe. We want to be really focused. By the way, that's another major issue that businesses have today. They're not focused. So focus on a few customer segments or customer groups, figure out what they crave. And now, with that as a context, to your point, we create the answer to the question, how are we going to compete and win? Not in the market, in those segments that we've just defined, those customer groups, okay? How are you going to compete and win? Really, the answer to that is we're going to compete and win in the customer group segment in Las Vegas by being the only one who. And so the context is set by the process. How big do you want to be? Who do you want to serve? Get really granular there. What do they crave? Now we're going to create the only statement that satisfies that whole issue of differentiation, not to the market generally, but to the customer groups we've decided to serve. And so if I would imagine, they probably didn't go through this, but I could draw the parallel. You end up landing in Vegas very strategically because you've done an assessment about, you know, the relative success that you might have there in a ridiculously insane environment, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, the process applies to every business, large or small, not-for-profit, for-profit, relationships. It applies everywhere. Careers, I used it on my career.
Yeah, and it's revolutionary and evolutionary, as in
thank that you.
As a process, it doesn't stop, right? It never stops.
No.
And it dovetails a little bit on the work I do, which is like, once you've identified all these things, the next step is, who do you need to become in order to have that? Who do you need to become in that next 30-day period? I love that. I love the idea of breaking down 24 months into 24 30-day periods. How big do you want to be in 24 months? It's 24 30-day periods. where do you make your money? Who are you serving and what do they crave? And how will we compete and win in the identified customer group?
Using the only, and that's where the only statement is embedded, right in that piece.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to say here is my experience working with small businesses particularly is they will say to me, Roy, we're not special at anything. We're just a small business, blah, blah, blah. And so actually creating an only statement has led me to kind of like execute a nuance to this whole notion that says, in order to be only, you may have to reframe your business, okay? Like, let me give you an example. I mean, this landscaping company that I was working with recently, they thought they were in the lawn cutting business. We decided that through the strategy that they were going to target strata corporations, okay, with their services. And so they were trying to figure out how they were going to be unique. And they said, well, okay, I mean, we're not unique at mowing lawns. We're not unique at various aspects of landscaping. And I said, okay, that may be true, but what if you thought about yourself as being in the property development business? Does that open up any opportunities for you? And you know what, Wayne? They go, what? I mean, that's just, I got goosebumps just now, just thinking about it, because I was there in this room. They went, oh my God, yes. There's nobody else even talking about that. And I said, can you imagine some of the solutions with that as kind of a, like a guideline that you can provide stratas? And they just started, they had relationships that they could leverage, et cetera, et cetera. And so they ended up saying this, Lawn and Garden Co. is the only service partner who delivers tailored property development solutions for strata corporations. That's it. That's their strategy.
Amazing. And when somebody says lawns or prune trees,
they'll do all of that. But those are products and services that fit within the definition of what they call property development. And they're claiming the territory. You should see what's going on here, because this was about 2 months ago. Yeah. A couple of young guys who own the business, they're out there and they're just leading with their chest. We're not in the lawn cutting business. We're not in the tree trimming business. We're in the property development business for strata corporations. Boom. It's so powerful.
It's a great example.
I got a couple of other examples, but
please, share them, please. That's great.
So there's this other one that this was a company from Eastern Canada who thought they were in the boat selling business to dealers. Okay. So they would import boats and then they would sell them to dealers who would then sell them to end users. And we got to the same place in the process. How are you going to compete and win, right? What's your only statement? Again, a lot of difficulty. Well, we sell boats. I mean, what's unique about a boat? And so they're still thinking about the product and service, right? So I said, yeah, okay, let's take a deep dive in terms of what the boat dealers really desire. So we had a huge conversation about cravings. You know, what keeps these boat dealers up? I mean, it's not the fact that you provide boats that float, okay? It's not about the electronics. It's not about nothing. I want to know what keeps them up at night. And so after a while, it came out that what keeps these guys awake at night is the fact that they need to grow their business. Okay, so it was a higher order concern that they crave. They crave solutions to growing their business. And I said, okay, what if we thought we were in that business and not the boat business? Would that work? And so the same reaction, I go, what? What does that mean? Okay, so it ended up, we landed on this only statement as a way to express the business that they were in and how unique they were. And they said, so we're moving from selling boats to this particular only statement. And I quote, Marine Co. is the only complete service partner committed to delivering solutions to grow a boat dealer's business. They're not in a boat selling business at all. I mean, sure, the solutions will have an anchor, so to speak, around a boat, okay? Very nice. But it's going to contain all these other dimensions, okay, of business development, inventory management, all this other stuff that no other boat dealer does because they've never even thought about it. And it's the same situation. They're out there with their chests strutting. Is if you want somebody that flogs boats, go there. If you want somebody that can help you grow your business, talk to me. I mean, it was amazing. I got to tell you, amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And it's a full reposition. And I love that. I love that. So for anyone that's leading a business or entrepreneur who's in a business trying to be noticed, get noticed with your only statement. Who are you serving and what do they crave? And it goes back to that, which I love, Roy. It's You know, if we all lived that way, it would be an amazingly different world, wouldn't it? Like serve
it would like I keep thinking about this, the binomial distribution curve, the normal curve. Sure. You know, like you got the tails of the distribution that go like this, and then in the middle, that's where most people reside and organizations provide, right? In the big glut in the middle. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way, but boom. No. Then you got the tail on the right are kind of like the superstars. They're the different, they're unique, they're disruptors, successful. Then on the other are people trying to do that too, but they haven't figured it out and they're not successful. But for most of us, we're in the middle. I keep thinking about what it would look like, Wayne, if we took that middle and shifted it just one point to the right. Can you imagine the power and the success and the happiness and the rewards that would be created by that movement?
Yes.
You know, I keep hoping that before I die, I get to see a little bit of a glimpse that's starting to happen. I got goosebumps again. That's starting to happen, right? Wouldn't it be great?
Well, you're making your difference now, you know.
Wow.
You're doing what you can to push that curve.
It's all we can do, right?
Exactly. So what didn't I ask, and or how do people find out more?
Well, I don't think there's much more. Well, we could probably make a 3-hour show of this, and maybe
I know
maybe we'll come back and do it again. But you can get a hold of me. I've got a website at bedifferentorbedead.com, and I welcome visitors. I've been blogging about this stuff since 2009. And so for people who want more information about what Be Different or Be Dead is all about, what cravings are all about, what goosebump hiring for goosebumps is all about, what leadership by service, come and visit me, and because there's blog articles there. And I try and blog every week, because as we have conversations like this, I'm learning more about my own stuff. And it's remarkably deep. I'm prolific. I got a mobile device, and I the only reason I use the computer is to do Zooms, quite frankly, or Riverside, whatever, but I'm always on the run, on the go on that. So you can check it out. My books are there if you want. I've written 7 of them around this whole concept if you want to learn more. And I have an email. My email is roy.osing@gmail.com. Wayne, and I'm really happy to have a conversation with any individual who wants to explore this. I mean, I think I'm honored if somebody sends me an email, and I get them these days, by the way. Somebody say, Roy, I heard you on blah, 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 and I've created my only statement. What do you think? And nice. I go, wow, what a great day this is to actually have somebody pick it up. You know, probably their pupils are dilating because they're interested in it, and they're reaching out. And I'm happy to do that with anybody.
That is how you move the bell curve, right? At the center of the bell.
Thank you. You're right.
So bedifferentorbedead.com. That's an easy one to remember. It's long to type, but it's an easy one to remember. Bedifferentorbedead.com. And then Roy, R-O-Y, dot O-S-I-N-G. It is as it sounds, royosing@gmail.com. That's right. That's great. Well, I do appreciate having you on. It's inspiring, it's fun, and I love, you know, when I can learn a little bit and share a little bit, and hopefully as our listeners and or viewers are going through this, that you have learned something as well. So
absolutely.
Great. Good. Roy, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it. You did a great job. So thank you.
Thank you. All righty. This is One Sharp Sword, cutting through to what matters most. My guest today, Roy Osing, and I am Dr. P, Dr. Wayne Purnell, the Exponential Success Coach and the president of Dynamic Leader, Inc. We do this every week. This is One Sharp Sword. We'll see you here next time. Please like and share this episode. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to One Sharp Sword, cutting through to what matters most with your host, Dr. P, Dr. Wayne Purnell, the breakthrough success coach and your powerful presence mentor.